Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. Today we're hearing about the launch of UBS's first 100% sustainable investing cross-asset strategic allocation. UBS has joined with other financial firms and multilateral development banks to find sustainability solutions and launch this trailblazing allocation filled exclusively with SI instruments. We spoke to some of UBS's finest minds in the space in Hong Kong earlier this year to hear how the bank's thinking around sustainability has been informed by the urgent challenge of meeting the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Our panel told us more about that story and explained how the innovative product that UBS has developed with its partners can deliver those goals and indeed those of a client base and a wider investment community hungry for progress towards a sustainable future. In Hong Kong, we spoke with Misha Eckhart, Mario Nerpfel and James Gifford. And let's start with James, Head of Impact Investing in the Chief Investment Office in UBS Wealth Management. James Gifford, partnership is at the heart of so much of UBS thinking on this theme. Why will the delivery of the Sustainable Development Goals, those SDGs, why will it depend on this more collegiate approach?
Partnerships are essential for sustainable development and sustainable investing because wealth managers can't do this alone. What we recognized when we looked at, for example, how to create a 100% sustainable portfolio is that there weren't sustainable versions of every investment class that we needed to ensure that the portfolio delivered both sustainable outcomes but also the financial performance that we would expect from a traditional portfolio. So we needed to partner with key organizations such as the World Bank and Hermes Investment Management in order to deliver strategies which could fulfill the sustainability goals of the portfolio, as well as delivering commercial and market rate financial returns.
So what kind of opportunity, James, do multilateral development banks offer to private wealth management and vice versa?
Most investors don't recognize that there is huge potential in collaboration with development finance institutions, in channeling private capital into development and commercial projects in developing countries. The UN Sustainable Development Goals process showed that there is a funding gap of around $2.5 trillion a year just in developing countries if we are to meet the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. That is a huge volume of capital, and it can only be deployed if the private sector is there to do the heavy lifting. And the development finance institutions are really those organizations that are best placed to channel private sector capital into development because they've been doing it for decades and doing it profitably.
James, it's long been something of a cliche in this area that doing good costs. How important is it to remind investors that doing good need not necessarily involve compromise in terms of returns?
So the issue of whether sustainable investing generates just as good of returns as traditional strategies is one that clients ask all the time, and rightly so. I think what we can confidently say now is that you can deliver sustainable and impact investing solutions without sacrificing returns. And hopefully, going forward, given the trends in our society, hopefully outperforming. Now, historically, there are over 2,000 academic studies that looked at the relationship between sustainable investment and sustainable performance of companies and financial performance. Now, 92% of those studies showed either a positive relationship or a neutral relationship between sustainability and financial performance. Only 8% showed a negative relationship. So I think the data show that clients should be confident they can achieve at least as good at financial returns from sustainable investing strategies.
Mario Nerpfel, if I can turn to you next, you're head of the Sustainable and Impact Investing Advisory, Investment Platforms and Solutions for APAC in UBS Wealth Management. Let's talk a bit about innovative solutions and products here. What's the journey been like for UBS to get to the launch of this 100% SI cross-asset strategic asset allocation? Mario, can you talk to us a bit about that?
So UBS has been focusing for the last 15 years globally on sustainable and impact investing, being it focus on exclusionary approaches or going more into the newer styles of incorporating environmental, social, governance aspect into the instrument selection, into the investment process, or into impact investing, where your capital really aims to achieve an active social or environmental impact that you would like to have with your portfolio. Now, we have partnered with a number of leading managers over time on private market strategies over the last few years, including a partnership with TPG last year on the Rise Fund, which is the largest ever impact fund created and run, where we were able to partner with TPG as the exclusive wealth manager, making it available to private clients. So with our new 100% sustainable investing portfolio, we really want to bring our clients here in the region on a journey to not only think about generating impact with their private markets investment, but onto a journey of how they can actually deploy their capital into equities and bonds, into liquid strategies that are aligned with their passions, with their concerns, and with their values that they have. So with our 100% sustainable cross-asset class portfolio, we really believe clients can change the way they look at their investments, from not only having competitive financial returns that they're looking for, but linking it with their personal passion and values, and make it much more meaningful what they do with their investments and with their wealth.
And Mario, what are client attitudes towards sustainable investing in the region, particularly amongst family office clients?
Sustainable investing tends to be a newer topic for many of our clients here in the region. Now, we've seen strong asset growth into sustainable investing strategies here in Asia over the last few years. Between 2014 and 16, it has increased more than 10 times. But when we now look at our private clients, mostly for them, it's a new approach of how they think about their investments. So looking at the financial return components of what they would like to achieve has been core to their investment strategy. Now, looking at it, how does their portfolio align with their family's passions, with what they want to stand for as a family, which companies they want to invest in, is a very new thing. So many clients are here on a journey to actually start linking their personal values with their investment side of the portfolio.
Mario Knupfel. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the specifics of the new SI products that are powering the changes we've been hearing about. Mario Knupfel, next up, can we talk a bit about how the landscape around sustainable investing has changed? Have you met clients who've gone through a rather drastic change in their investment priorities and have begun to really look at these themes in a different way recently?
So recently I've met Chinese clients, a lady from Beijing who visited our office, and we were talking about her concerns around the air and water pollution in China and how also her son got significant health issues because of the pollution. We were discussing these values for quite a while, and then I looked at her portfolio and just asked a simple question, saying, if you're concerned about air pollution, why do you invest into three of the five biggest polluters in China? This is a totally new angle for her. So she looked at me and said, I've never thought about that. And this is the kind of journey we want to take our clients on, to really show them how they can improve their portfolio to link it much closer to what they really care about.
And let's take a sector-wide view. Mario, what's the market like in China, for example? Where's the most exciting growth happening?
So one of the angles we are looking at in our portfolios is the exposure of clients' portfolios into green bonds. Green bonds is a relatively new market that is growing significantly globally. But China, as part of their five-year plan and their ambition to expand clean energy, expand the infrastructure, and strengthen their sustainable finance Standards is today the biggest issuer of green bonds. So we are talking about roughly 30% of global green bonds are issued in China by Chinese companies, government linked, but also private companies. So it is a huge market where China is really leading the way globally of how to link corporate bonds and government bonds to environmental and clean technology projects.
And if we continue with this worldwide view, Misha Eckhart, you're UBS Wealth Management Head of Client Investment Specialists, Investment Platforms and Solutions for APAC. How's the global rollout of these products coming along?
Well, we're launching it all over the world now, I guess, right? We launched already in January in Switzerland. So Switzerland is not only meaning Switzerland as a location, but Switzerland as a booking center where basically our international clients get access to this portfolio. So it's the same here in the large booking centers in the region in Hong Kong and Singapore. So we give access to clients from Hong Kong, from China, Taiwan, Singapore, and all the Southeast Asian countries that we where we have clients. So we're very excited about giving this opportunity to the clients, and we're very eager to basically have this conversation with the client and to engage them in a more holistic way, not just as a kind of a side topic or as a theme, but more as a general portfolio solution now for their investments.
Hamisha, to return to where we started this episode, we began by talking about partnerships. Maybe finally you can tell us a bit more about the role social enterprises can play in tandem with finance firms in this space.
What we hear a lot is that clients sometimes think about philanthropy, right? A lot of our clients think about, well, let me just invest. For my investments, I will do it the traditional way. And then with some of my money, I will do philanthropy, right? So I guess here is where we want to play a part to actually do more than just philanthropy, because we know that there's this huge funding gap and we need to engage investors more holistically. We need to channel commercial interest of the world towards sustainability if we want to have a chance at solving or making the planet more sustainable. So it's that aspect that I think we try to highlight with clients as well.
Social enterprises play an important role of really developing business models which address specific needs of the population, environmental needs as well. Now, often these social enterprises look at it either from a more philanthropic or venture philanthropy perspective. Others are targeting more profit-based business models that they would like to build. Now, I think for both of these social enterprises, there is a very important market through either philanthropy, bringing capital that catalyzes these social enterprises, or as the social enterprises grow and require also growth capital to further scale their operations. I think this is where also then banking comes into place to help them really attract new capital to grow their companies, to scale operations and increase the impact they can have.
Thanks, Mario. Maybe James, if we can end the day's program with you. To what extent are trends on the client side shared beyond merely those with philanthropic goals, in fact, amongst your whole client base? And I wonder, are there particular drivers, for example, are millennials or female investors more interested in SI portfolios?
There are a number of different drivers for the growth in client demand in sustainable and impact investing. The first one, I think, is, you know, the mega trends and the financial rationale for investing in this space in terms of getting exposure to fast-growing long-term themes such as financial technology at the base of the pyramid, healthcare in emerging markets, education technology. All of these fast-growing impact themes are really important to clients to get access to. But it's also about family and experiential returns. You know, it's very powerful to align your portfolio with your values. Many of our clients have businesses that are well run and they are rightly proud of, but their portfolios have not been invested in ways which are aligned with the family's portfolio. So now, for the first time, they can align their business, their investments, and their philanthropy with their families' values. Another rationale is development of the next generation of the family. And what we find is with a lot of our clients, they're very interested in the next generation learning investing skills, wealth preservation, wealth creation skills, not just through business, but through investing. And impact and sustainable investing is a great way to engage younger high net worth and ultra high net worth people in investing. You know, many people may not find traditional investing that inspiring, but actually a lot of people, millennials and people in their 20s, when they start to learn about sustainable and impact investing, they recognize, wow, this is really interesting, but they still learn the basics of investing. So they still learn about asset allocation. They still learn about risk and return, because at the end of the day, sustainable and impact investing is still investing. It's, you still want to create, you know, generate a market return, but you want to do so in that subset of the market that also creates positive change.
And that's James Gifford bringing us to the end of this 190th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Special thanks to Kurt Lin for his reporting from Hong Kong for the programme. In the meantime, listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.